الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the ترجمة of الفضيل ابن عياض رحمه الله تعالى and his biography is a bit long and this is because of what the author mentioned from his beneficial statements beginning this affair with what has proceeded from the statement of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala mentioning about Fudayl annahu sadaqa Allah fa ajra Allah al-hikmata 'ala lisanihi that he was truthful with Allah and Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah ta'ala he was truthful with Allah so therefore Allah he caused wisdom to flow from his tongue any wisdom and benefit and a good understanding of this life and the hereafter. وَكَانَ مِنْ نَفَعَهُ عِلْمُهُ And he was from those whom his knowledge benefited him. So we continue reading from that which al-Dhahabi he mentioned and collected from the beneficial statements of al-Fudayl ibn Iyad رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى From that he mentioned لَا يَسْلَمُ لَكَ قَلْبُكَ حَتَّى لَا تُبَارِي مَنْ أَكَلَ الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى لَا تُبَارِي مَنْ أَكَلَ الدُّنْيَا And from his wisdom, رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned that your heart will never be sound for you, any upright and correct, until you do not have any concern about who eats from this worldly life, and from who has any possession and property and prosperity in this life. Meaning that a person, his heart, will not look at others and be jealous of them because of the dunya that they have. And this will not affect him, and it will not bother him to see others having good from the blessings and bounties of Allah. As for the one who has envy, he has envy and hatred and animosity in his heart, and he sees blessings and bounties upon others, and he dislikes that, then this is from the worst of traits. And this person is known as al-hasood. Al-hasood, and he's the one who is jealous, and he has envy in his heart. And this is from the worst and the foul of all traits. So he's saying that your heart will never be safe and sound. It will never be good for you until you have no concern and you do not care who eats from the worldly life. And who has money and who has wealth and who has property and who has rank. A believer, he doesn't look to that. And he doesn't busy himself with the affairs of the people. And having enmity and animosity and having envy and jealousy in the heart is from the affairs that will destroy the heart. And a person who has jealousy for someone else, he cannot stop thinking of him. And he will think of him and think of him until it would burn his heart. Until it would burn his heart. And every time the man is mentioned, yani he will have something to say and something to think about and something to mention in the likes like this. And this is yani what he's mentioning here. لَا يَسْلَمُ لَكَ قَلْبُكَ حَتَّى لَا تُبَارِي مَنْ أَكَلَ الدُّنْيَا That your heart will never be sound for you and good until you have no concern or care for the people of this life and what they have from the worldly affairs. And a believer, he loves to see good for his brothers, just as he loves to see good for himself. And the one who is jealous, and the one who is hasid, then the people of knowledge, they mention about him, huwa adu ni'mah. Huwa adu ni'mah. He is the enemy of bounties and blessings. He is the enemy of bounties and blessings. And to see good along with others and to dislike that, even if a person he did not wish for it to come to him or to leave that individual, just to dislike others having good from the worldly affair or from the affairs of their religion, this is considered hasid, and this is a foul trait. And we have been commanded to seek refuge with Allah from the hasid of those who envy, from the jealousy of those who envy. And so this is something that he's referring to. So believer, he looks into himself. After this, he says, وَقِيلَ لَهُ and it was said to him, مَزْزُهُدْ ما الزهد قال القنوع قيل وما الورع قال اجتناب المحارم قيل ما العبادة قال أداء الفرائض قيل ما التواضع قال أن تخضع للحق وقال أشد الورع في اللسان أشد الورع في اللسان It's mentioned to him رحمه الله تعالى What is الزهد 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 it means abstinence And in English, it means the abstinence and to abstain from something. It means abstinence and to abstain from something. What is intended here is to leave off the worldly life. And to leave off that and to prepare oneself for the hereafter and to busy oneself with the hereafter. Some of the Sufis, they have misunderstood this word and they have used the likes of these statements to wear clothing that is dirty or old or rough and the likes like this. And this was not understood from the Salaf. Rather, he's saying now, clarifying the meaning of a zuhd with the Salaf, he says al-qunu'. Al-qunu', that a person, he'll be satisfied with what Allah has given him, that he will have contentment and satisfaction for that which was decreed for him. For that which was decreed for him. It has come in Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam by Ibn Rajab, and he's mentioning the inclusive definition of a zuhd. And it's mentioned that a zuhd fi dunya taraku al-insan kulla ma yashgaruhu an Allah. And Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he mentioned that this is the best of the definitions and the words that have been mentioned or interpretations that have been mentioned about this word. Az-zuhd, tarqul insan kulla ma yashgaluhu an Allah. The reality of zuhd and piety and righteousness and abstinence from this worldly affair is to leave off everything that would preoccupy someone from Allah. To leave off everything that would preoccupy someone from Allah. That, and this is the case. But it's known that the people of knowledge from the Salaf al-Salih, that many of them, they would have clothing that is nice. And they would have from the worldly affairs that which is good. But it would not be in their hearts. It would be in their hands. It would not be in their hearts. It would be in their hands. So they would have the wealth that they have been provided and the blessings that they have from the worldly affair, and they would use that for the hereafter. So that would not preoccupy them from Allah. Rather, they would use that to draw closer to Allah. And this is the calamity that we have. The opposite of that is whenever a person, he has the love of this world in his heart and the love of wealth and prosperity in his heart, even if he doesn't have it in his hand, it will preoccupy him from Allah, and it will destroy him and ruin him. It will destroy him and ruin him. So therefore, a believer, his goal and his aim is to reach the pleasure of Allah. And this is to be content with the decree of Allah, just as he mentions here, مَزْزُهُدْ قَالَ الْقُنُوعِ, to have zuhd and to abstain from the worldly affair. This means that a person, he will be satisfied with what Allah has given him, and that he will not be preoccupied with this worldly life and leaving off his main goal and preparing for the meeting of his Lord. Rather, this life, he will use that. He will use that in what he has from provision and what he has from strength and wealth and what he has from well-being in mind and in his body to reach his goal and his aim. And that is to reach the paradise and the Jannah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, it was said to him, mal wara, mal wara. Al wara, it means piety. It means piety. But many times al wara is used to refer to leaving off that which is impermissible and staying away from that which is doubtful. And it's a high level of taqwa and piety. It's a high level of taqwa and piety. So this is what he answers, rahimahullah. He said, اجتناب المحارم. اجتناب المحارم. To stay away from that which is impermissible. So if one wants to be pious and righteous, he should stay away from that which is impermissible. And with regards to the performance of the obligations, for example, the pillars of al-Islam, all of the Muslims, they participate in that. All of the Muslims, they pray the five daily prayers. And all of the Muslims, they fast in Ramadan. But not all of them are able to leave off that which is impermissible. But not all of them are able to leave off that which is impermissible. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is a high level. Yani to perform the obligations, no doubt. And also from the greatest of obligations is to leave off that which is impermissible. To leave off the haram and to stay away from that. To leave off the haram and to stay away from that. Until a person, he could reach a level, he will leave off even many of the affairs that are permissible for him out of fear that it will draw him. Out of fear that it would draw him to that which is impermissible. And this is in reality al-wara and piety. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked about the difference between al-wara and al-zuhud. The difference between al-wara and al-zuhud. He said, rahimahullah, al-wara tarku ma yadurru fil akhirah. Tarku ma yadurru fil akhirah. Al-wara, any true piety and fear of Allah azza wa jal, is to leave off everything that will harm a person in his hereafter. Everything that will harm him in his hereafter. Anything from speech, and from statement and from deed, anything from the affairs of the dunya and wealth and the likes that would harm a person if he partakes in that in the hereafter, to leave that out of fear of Allah, this is called al-wara. This is called al-wara. But he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, and az-zuhd is a level higher than that. Az-zuhd is a level higher than that. وَتَرْكُ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. At tarku ma la yanfa'u fil akhirah, to leave off to leave off that which does not benefit in the hereafter. To leave off that which does not benefit in the hereafter. So the one who leaves off that which will harm his hereafter, this one is called wari'. He's called wari', and he's described with wara', and he has piety and righteousness. But maybe he'll be busy with some of the worldly affairs, and he will fulfill his desires in that which is permissible, and he's not gaining any nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatsoever. So although he will stay away from that which harms himself, he will not dedicate himself entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for the next level, which is higher than that, which is Zuhd, the one who's considered Zahid, the one who's considered Zahid, then he is the one who leaves off that which is not beneficial in the hereafter. And he meaning, as Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, كُلُّ مَا يَشْغَرُ الْإِنسَانَ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. To leave off everything that will preoccupy a person from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person, he sees that his family is causing him to forget Allah, then he will check himself. If he sees that his wealth will cause him to forget Allah, then he will check himself. Rather, a person who is pious and righteous and who has been given success, he is one who will serve his family for the sake of Allah. And he'll provide for his family for the sake of Allah. And he will please and smile with his family and laugh with them for the sake of Allah. So every action that he does is drawing him nearer to Allah. So he would turn the daily affairs into actions of worship with a beautiful intention. يُسَيِّرُ الْعَادَاتِ عِبَادَاتِ بِالنِّيَّ الصَّالِحَةِ. He would turn the everyday actions and the normal affairs that are mubahat, and feeding his family and taking care of his family and making the children happy and laugh and the likes like this, and educating them and teaching them and clothing them, all of the affairs that he does, he will remember Allah with regards to that. And he will do it for the sake of Allah. And likewise, whenever he sleeps, he will not go to sleep heedless. Rather, he will remember Allah. So therefore, everything that he does is for the sake of Allah. He's sleeping, and he's sleeping upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, he will make wudu before he goes to sleep. And he will lay on his right side and make the adhkar, remembering Allah azza wa jalla and his bounties and blessings that have come, any of the adhkar that have come from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will sleep with the intention to wake up for the Fajr prayer. Or even better than that, with the intention to wake up for the night prayer. Or he will pray the night prayer before he goes to bed if he thinks he's not going to wake up. And likewise, he will sleep with the intention of gaining strength so he can continue to fulfill his obligations and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, even his sleep, it becomes a means of blessing for him and a means of drawing near to Allah azza wa jal. And likewise, whenever he puts on his clothes, he will not put on his clothes heedlessly whenever he wakes up. Rather, he will cover his private parts because it's an obligation. Because it's an obligation, then it's not allowed for a person to walk around with his privates uncovered. Rather, he will cover them, but he will do that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He will remember Allah whenever he puts on his clothes. And there are adhkar that if a believer he learns with regards to this, it would aid him to remember Allah in this affair. So he will clothe himself, and he will go about his day and with the remembrance of Allah. And he will make his actions seeking the pleasure and the reward from Allah. So therefore, this one, he is truly Zahid, and he has turned this life and all of it into a blessing for him. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَالنُّسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So this is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ بِحِينِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he used to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla at all times. He used to remember Allah Azza wa Jal at all times. So the one who learns about these affairs, the affairs of al-wara' and the affairs of zuhud, this is from the greatest means to draw near to Allah. From the greatest means to rectify oneself and to wake up and to realize that we are created and we have a creator. And he has angels that are writing, and we're returning to him. And he's going to ask us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about our actions and how we used his blessings, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if we were good in that, and honest and trustworthy with regards to those blessings and bounties, and the bounty of al-Islam, then we will have good with our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we misused those bounties and blessings, and we betrayed the trust, waliyadhu billah, then a believer is faced with the anger of his Lord, waliyadhu billah. So Zuhd, he says, al-kunu' yani satisfaction with the decree of Allah, and that which Allah has written for him from all affairs. And likewise, al-wara' is to stay away from that which is impermissible, to stay away from the haram. And ibadah, he says, what is ibadah? What is ibadah? What is worship? He said, the reality of worship, if you want to know what worship is, ada'ul fara'id, to perform the obligatory affairs. And this takes precedence. And this is great fiqh and understanding in the deen. And many people, they will perform and have concern for worship and their lives like this, and they will give great concern for the non-obligatory action, and they will neglect the obligatory affair. And they will neglect the obligatory affair. And if a person, he did not strive against the soul, shaitan will come to him in this manner and even help him to have kushur in the non-obligatory salat in order to preoccupy him and to cause him to be heedless and negligent in the obligatory salat. And the obligatory action, it takes precedence and it's more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he mentioned in the hadith al-Qudsi, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيِّ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. So this is the case. Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, man shaghalahu al-fardu an al-nafli fahuwa ma'zur. That whoever is preoccupied with an obligation and was not able to perform that which is not obligatory, he's excused. Wa man shaghalahu al-naflu an al-fardi fahuwa maghrur. Fahuwa maghrur. And whoever is preoccupied with the non-obligatory action of worship and left off the obligatory action or was negligent in that, then he has been deceived. Then he has been deceived. So the reality of al-ibadah is to fulfill the obligations. Is to fulfill the obligations. From the greatest obligations of ibadah is seeking knowledge. Is seeking knowledge. To seek the knowledge, to know what is obligatory, and to know the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prohibitions in order to perform them upon insight and upon clarity. So from the greatest of the worship that is obligatory, seeking knowledge of the obligations. Seeking knowledge of the obligations upon a person in one day and one night. In one day and in one night. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, it's mentioned to him, وَمَا تَوَاضُعَ. And what does humbleness mean? Yani humility and being humble, not being arrogant or boastful. He said, إِن تَخْضَعَ لِلْحَقِّ. And that you surrender and submit to the truth. That you submit and you surrender to the truth. Meaning wherever it came from. If somebody he brought the truth, one he will surrender to that. If someone he brought the evidence from the Quran and from the Sunnah, with the clear understanding that it indicates the issue, then he will surrender to that, whether the big one brought it or the small one. Whether the big one brought it or the small one, any of the elder or the youth, or whatever the case it is, or however it came to him. And like this, the people of Hadith, they used to say, لَا يُكُونُ رَجُلُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ حَتَّى يَأْخُذَ عَمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَهُ وَعَمَّنْ هُوَ فَوْقَهُ وَعَمَّنْ هُوَ مِثْلُهُ. That a person, he will not truly be from a student of al-hadith, he will not truly be a student of knowledge until he takes knowledge from those who are above him and those who are below him and from those who are on the same level and peers to him. And peers to him. So a person who is seeking the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seeking knowledge, he will take the truth wherever it comes from and he will submit to that and surrender to that. And takhda'a lil-haq. And takhda'a lil-haq. This is tawadu'a. It has come likewise, yani it has come in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ تَوَضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. That whoever humbles himself before Allah, and before the commandments of Allah, and before the deen of Allah, and submits himself, surrenders himself to Allah, he's humble, and he before Allah, by performing that which is obligatory, and his right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Allah will raise his rank. Allah, he will raise his rank. After this, he mentioned an amazing affair. قَالَ وَقَالَ أَشَدُّ الْوَرَعِ فِي اللِّسَانِ. أَشَدُّ الْوَرَعِ فِي اللِّسَانِ. And the most severe, meaning the most difficult type of piety and being cautious and leaving off that which is impermissible is that which is related to the tongue. Is that which is related to the tongue. And so this is an amazing affair. And the issue that he's aware of, that a person, he could fast all day long. He could fast all day long and then he'll break his fast on that which is impermissible and haram. He'll be fasting all day long, but he's backbiting the people at the same time, or stand in the night prayer, and then he will wake up in the daytime and he will cheat the people and the likes like this, and he will lie to them, and he will deceive them, and he will trick them with the gift of gab, and so on and so forth. And he's so a person controlling his tongue, this is something that shows true piety and true righteousness, that he's able to control his own tongue. And the tongue, it only dishes out that which is in the heart. The tongue, it only dishes out that which is in the heart. And Dhahabi, he has some commentary here. He says, قُلْتُ هَكَذَا هُوَ. Yeah, this is true. He said, فَقَدْ تَرَى الرَّجُلَ وَرِعًا فِي مَكَارِهِ وَمَلْبَسِهِ وَمُعَامَلَتِهِ وَإِذَا تَحَدَّثَ يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهِ الدَّاخِلُ مِنْ حَدِيثِهِ. He said, you might find a man who is pious and righteous with regards to his food, and he cautious where his food comes from, and cautious where his clothing comes from, and his dealings and the likes like this. But whenever he speaks, and he's tried in this manner. Whenever he speaks, he's tried in this manner. فَإِمَّنْ يَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ فَلَا يُكَمِّلُ صِدْقَ. Either he will have to pursue, and he being honest and truthful in his speech and not be able to do that. وَإِمَّا أَنْ يَسْدُقَ فَيَنْمُقَ حَدِيثَهُ لِيُمْدَحَ عَلَى الْفَصَحَ. Or else he will, either he will pursue the truth and not be able to fulfill that, or even if he is able to be honest and truthful, then even at this time, he will beautify his speech in order for the people to praise him. So this is the clarification of what that means. Ashad al-wara fi lisan, that the most severest type of piety is in the tongue. Because even a person, maybe he'll be honest, but then with that he wants praise from the people. With that, he wants praise from the people. So this is something that a believer, he will examine. And the Salaf, they used to say, مَنْ عَدَّ كَلَامَهُ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ عَمَلِهِ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ. The one who considers his speech from the general actions that will be weighed against him or for him on the day of resurrection, he will speak less. After this, Al-Dhahabi, he mentions that one of the Salaf, they heard Al-Fudayl saying, لو أن لي دعوة مستجابة ما جعلتها إلا في إمام ما جعلتها إلا في إمام فالصلاح الإمام الصلاح البلاد والعباد. He said, if I had a supplication that I knew would be answered, if I had a supplication that I knew would be answered, I would make it for the leader, I would make it for the ruler, for the Muslim ruler. He said, because the rectification of the Muslim ruler is the rectification of the lands and of the slaves, of the lands and of the slaves. This is an indication of his love of goodness for the Muslims. And how many could do that? If it was mentioned to one of us right now that you have a supplication, whatever you desire and you ask for, that Allah, he will grant it to you. What would one his mind go to? And his mind go to, and many things from the worldly affair and from the hereafter. Some of them are beautiful and good and permissible and halal, alhamdulillah, and there's no blame in that. But he's thinking about the betterment and the benefit of the Muslims. He's thinking about the benefit of the ummah. And this is an indication of a big heart. This is an indication of a big heart and sincerity and truthfulness that he wants good for the people. And this is likewise an application of the narration of Anas radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. He loves for himself. So this is a high status. After this, he mentioned, لا يبلغ العبد حقيقة الإيمان حتى يعد البلاء نعمة والرخاء والرخاء مصيبة وحتى لا يحب أن يحمد على عبادة الله. He said, a slave, he will not reach the reality of sincere faith, of iman, until he considers a calamity a blessing, and until he considers ease and prosperity a trial and calamity, a trial and calamity. And he mentioned, he will likewise not reach sincere faith, the true faith, until he does not want to be praised for the worship of Allah, until he does not desire any praise for the worship of Allah, and he doesn't have that in his heart. He doesn't have that in his heart. Until then, he will not reach the reality of sincere faith. Likewise, he says, "Rahimahullah, haramun ala kulubikum an tusiba halawat al-imani hatta tazhadu fi dunya, hatta tazhadu fi dunya." That is impermissible, haram. It's not possible for your hearts to find the sweetness of faith until you have zuhud in this life. We've seen what zuhud means before. Until you do not become preoccupied with this dunya, with the affairs that will cause you to forget about Allah and the home of the hereafter. So a person, in order to taste the sweetness of faith, he has to prefer Allah Azza wa Jal. He has to love Allah more than he loves himself, and more than he loves all mankind. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this manner, he will taste the sweetness of faith. So therefore, again, the one who reaches this level, he will not be preoccupied with the dunya until he neglects the rights of Allah. Rather, he will use the dunya entirely, all of it, for his goal, and that is to reach the pleasure of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. After this, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, all of these are continuous narrations of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyal, rahimahullah. He says, إِذَا لَمْ تَقْدِرْ عَلَى قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ وَصِيَامِ النَّهَارِ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ مَحْرُومٌ كَبَّرَتْكَ خَطِيَّتُكَ. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that if you are not able to stand in the night prayer, and if you're not able to fast in the daytime, meaning the non-obligatory prayer, of course, and the non-obligatory fasting, if you're not able to stand in the night prayer, and if you're not able to fast the non-obligatory fast, then you should know that you have been prohibited. You should know that you have been prohibited, and your sins have shackled you and enchained you. Your sins have shackled you and enchained you. كَبَّرَتْكَ خَطِيَّتُكَ. Yani your sins, they have prohibited you, enchained you from that. And this is a great statement. A person, he will examine himself and he will look into his affair. And he has a desire to get up at nighttime, but he's not able to. Or maybe he even has lost the desire, would he ever be allowed to get up at the nighttime? He should rectify this affair and look into himself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, sharaf al-mu'min. Sharafu al-mu'min qiyamuhu min al-layl. Qiyamuhu min al-layl. That the nobility of a believer is that he stands in the night prayer. That he stands in the night prayer. The night prayer is, no doubt, it's not obligatory, but it's a sign of sincere faith. And it's, as the people of knowledge mentioned, da'bu as-salihin. It's the manner and the methodology of the pious and the righteous. Either they will stand in the night prayer before they go to bed, or they will stand in the night prayer and after they sleep and before the rising of the fajr. But in any case, it's very important to be accustomed and to strive to perform the night prayer, the witr prayer. If one, he thinks that he can wake up before fajr, then he will sleep first, and this is best and for him. And if he is afraid that he will not wake up, and because of how tired he may be and the likes like this, or whatever the case may be, he will pray before he goes to sleep, and this is best for him. And this has been narrated from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet asked him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when do you pray the witr prayer? He said, before I go to sleep. He said, bil hazmi akhadta. He said, with certainty and determination you have taken hold. And he meaning that he has taken this manner in the best way. And then he asked Umar radiallahu anhu, when do you pray the witr prayer? He said, I sleep first and then I wake up before fajr. And he said, bi fi'li fa'alta. He said, with the action that I do, you have done. Yani akhadta bil quwwah. In one narration, you have taken with strength. Yani, but in any case, whichever one is easier for a believer to continue upon, this is the best for him. This is the best for him. The night prayer. If a person, he can't stand in the night prayer, Fudayl is telling us, look into his soul and take himself to account. It is only the sins that have prohibited him. It is only the sins that have prohibited him. That have prohibited him. Likewise, yani the fasting in the daytime. The fasting in the daytime. A person, he could look at all the affairs. And all of the actions of goodness. Because the scholars, they say, الْحَسَنَةُ تَجُرُّ أُكْتَهَا. A good deed, it pulls along with it another good deed. Yani it opens the doorway for goodness. The one who does good, sincerity for the sake of Allah, it opens up the doorway for goodness. Even to the extent that this is the sign, the people of knowledge that mention, those who make hajj, that the hajj is mabrur. That his situation is better when he comes back. If he was upon khayr, whenever he went to hajj, and he came back upon more khayr and in a better situation, it's a sign that his hajj was good. Or if he was upon evil, and when he went to hajj and he came back and his situation was better, then it's a sign that it was accepted. Either he went from foul to good or from good to better. This is a sign that the hajj was accepted. And likewise, Ramadan, and the case is like this. So a believer, if he has good with him, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is sincere, Allah ash-shakur yashkuru amalahu salih. Allah Azza wa Jal, He will show thanks for him and He will open up the goodness for him and He will make a way for him to draw near to Him. He will make a way for the slave to draw near to Him. But as for the sayyi'ah and the bad deed, it's the same case in the same way. As-sayyi'atu tajuru ukhtaha. Tajuru ukhtaha. A bad deed, it brings along another bad deed and it opens up the gateway for more bad deeds. And a person who looks one time, he falls in. A person who touches or he speaks one time, if he's not careful, he'll fall in to a hole of sin and to a pit of disobedience. But a believer, he should never despair, because if he is sincere and he repents to Allah, that is from the best of all good deeds. If he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his tawheed, and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his authority and his command, and that Allah azza wa jal, he is the Rabb, Rabb al-Alameen, he has commandments and he has set limits, and he remembers his own soul, and that he is weak and he has transgressed the rights and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he repents and he repents. And this is from the best of all deeds, opening up the gateway of goodness for him now. So a believer, he will live like this, yani in this manner, examining his soul and repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal, and taking himself into account and making al-istighfar, yani in the daytime and the nighttime. In the daytime and in the nighttime. Also, he mentions here, rahimahullah, that Fudayl, he saw wara'a qawman min ashab al-hadith yamrahuna wa yadhhakun fanadahu mahlan ya warathat al-anbiya mahlan thalathan innakum aymatun yuktada bikum. He mentioned, and he giving advice to his students and to the people of knowledge, that he saw some people from the students of hadith, from the students of hadith, any those who were known to be students of knowledge, and he seen them joking and laughing any out loud in public in this manner. And he said to them, slow down, take it easy, O inheritors of the prophets. Take it down, slow down, take it easy, O heritors of the prophets. And he said it three times. And he said it three times, verily, you are imams that people are following. And he'd be careful, like this. It's been narrated from Ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, that he said that we used to laugh, or maybe it was Al-Awza'i. One of them, they mentioned that we used to laugh and joke with the people until they started following us, and we became leaders in our communities, and we stopped smiling and laughing. And we stopped smiling and laughing. And so the issue here is allowed to smile and joke. But a student, he would do that. A person of knowledge, he would do that with nobility. And he would do that with moderation. And this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not laugh with a loud voice. Rather, he would smile and he would see happiness and cheerfulness in his face. And sometimes he would laugh and joke with his companions, but he would say that which is true. And he would never lie, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was not something that he had done all the time. And so this is any advice, any for the students, that they have to realize that there are individuals who look up to them, and that they are qudwa. And the one who has sought knowledge and came back home, he has a great position and responsibility on him, that he will be a role model in that. He can either be a role model, qudwa hasana, or be a qudwa sayyya. And a believer, likewise, not only the students of knowledge, but likewise a mother and father in their home, they're a qudwa for their child. So let them realize that and know that, and give them their right of cultivating them in the best way. And that requires to have the best manners, and to be upon a good path, and to have knowledge of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be a good role model. Some of the children, may Allah rectify the affairs of the Muslims, they're misguided in these days. And many times we would not have to look any further than the parents, because they're the ones who had led them to their desires and to the misunderstandings and the likes like this, because of ignorance of the deen of Allah, and ignorance of the tawheed of Allah, and ignorance of the greatness of Allah, and ignorance of the promise and the threat of Allah, and ignorance of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and showing concern for this life until they have turned away from the affairs of the deen, and then they are complaining about the children and their lives like this. And so learning and one's self is very important. Rectification, it begins with one's own soul, After this, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, again clarifying the dangers of the issues of knowledge if it's not carried properly. He says, rahimahullah, that yughfaru lil jahili sab'una dhanban ma la yughfaru lil alimi dhanbun wahidun. He said that an ignorant person, a person of ignorance who did not know, he will be pardoned or forgiven for 70 sins, that a person of knowledge, he will not be forgiven for one of them. He will not be forgiven for one of them. And he liked this to people of knowledge. They mentioned, in kunta la tadri fatilka musiba, fatilka musibatun wa in kunta tadri fal musibatu a'zamu. That if you did not know, and that this is impermissible or an obligation and the likes like this, the fact that a person is ignorant of his religion, if he did not know, fatilka musiba, in kunta la tadri fatilka musiba. But if you know, then the musiba is even greater. The musiba is even greater. He knows it's haram. He knows it's not permissible. He knows it's an obligation. He knows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows that Allah can see him and hear him. He knows the names and attributes of Allah azza wa jalla. And then he turned away from that without showing care or concern for the sacred rights of Allah. Then this one, the calamity is even greater. The calamity is even greater. The knowledge, it has to be applied, and it has to be put into application. After this, it's been narrated, يعني ذات فضيل أخذ بيد سفيان بن عيينة في هذا الوادي فقلت إن كنت تظن أنه بقي على وجه الأرض شر مني ومنك فبئس ما تظن. It's mentioned that Fudayl, he took the hand of Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he died in the year 198, from the greatest of the narrators of hadith, from the greatest of the narrators of hadith and the carriers of the sunnah. They're walking through a valley. Fudayl, he took his hand, and he said to them, if you think that there remains on the face of this earth somebody who is more evil than me and you, then how evil what you have thought. Then how evil what you have thought. And he meaning that a person, he should never be amazed with his own self. And these are from the imams of the sunnah. They're from the carriers of the sunnah. They're from the righteous and the most pious. But if a person, he looks at his unrighteousness, that would destroy him. That would tear him down. That would destroy him in his deeds. And in ujub, that he will be amazed with his own self. So this is what he's telling him. And that if you, in the cases, if a believer, he sees himself that he has good from righteousness and piety, this should not cause him to look into himself and to think that he's better than others, but rather it should cause him to be humble and to thank Allah Azza wa Jal and to know that it's the favor from Allah. If he truly had tawheed, he would know that all of the actions and nothing happens in this life except with the permission of Allah. So it is Allah who guided him and allowed him to submit. It is from the command of Allah and the decree of Allah and the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he allowed him to submit to him and to pray to him and to bow before him and to prostrate before him and to give charity and to stand in this prayer and that prayer. This is a favor from Allah. So if a believer, he's seen the good, this would only increase him in humbleness and humility before Allah. And likewise, he would taste the sweetness of that and he'll be afraid to leave it and afraid to lose it and afraid that it'll be stripped from him. So therefore, he'll be humble before Allah and he'll be humble before the slaves of Allah. And if he sees that he has good, he knows it's from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a beautiful understanding. It's a beautiful understanding. But at the same time, they are from the best of the people. They're from the best of the people. And because of their creed and because of their action and their deed. After this, he mentioned al-Dhahabi, to clarify that a person, he shouldn't be misunderstood. And Allah knows best, this is the order that he mentioned it. They don't think that they're better than others, meaning that they're humble. And that they know that the favor is from Allah. But one shouldn't think that, for example, an innovator or a disbeliever or a Christian and the likes like this is better than them. Or that they believe that. No, this means that they're humble and they're submissive. And they know that the blessing is from Allah and not from their own souls. Indicating this, al-Dhahabi, he mentioned that Fudayl, he says, من أحب صاحب بدعة أحبط الله عمله وأخرج نور الإسلام من قلبه لا يرتفع لصاحب بدعة إلى الله عمل. He said, Rahimahullah, that whoever loves and has any love for a person of innovation, then Allah, he will invalidate his deeds. Then Allah will invalidate his deeds. And whoever has love for the people of innovation, then Allah will invalidate his deeds. And he will strip the light of Iman and sincere faith from his heart. This is because innovation, it destroys that Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came with a deen. He came with a deen and a way of life and a sunnah, legal ways and laws that are revelation revealed. وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It's revelation from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for somebody to come and to replace that with what they think is good or what they found in their community or in their culture and the likes like this. In reality, they're doing away with the sunnah. Every time somebody introduces a newly invented matter into their religion, then in the same case, they are doing away with the sunnah. They have done away with the sunnah. From the examples of that, we find that in some cultures, right after the prayer, the first thing to do is to reach over and shake somebody's hand. We find that right after the obligatory prayer, the first thing that people do, they'll reach over and shake hands. Some of them, they'll stretch out and stretch out and stretch out. And shaking hands is good, but that's not the place for it. And the sunnah here is that a person, he'll be busy with his own hand, remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla and making adhkar, not busying others with his hand, rather to make adhkar with his hand and to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the sunnah here. But as for those people who have been busy shaking each other's hand left and right, then they have left off the sunnah and they're not making the adhkar and they're not using the hands in the manner that is legislated. So this is an indication the dangers of innovation. That every time an innovation is introduced, in return, they're wiping out and doing away with one of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The innovators, they're the true enemies of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in more than one narration in different wordings that addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. Addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi, the one who leads somebody to some good, then he's like the one who has done it. And وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً كَانَ اللَّهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُسَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْئًا. That whoever does a good deed and calls people to a good deed in Islam, then he will have the reward of that, and the reward of those who work by way of that, and it will not decrease his rewards whatsoever. So the people, the one who has the most right to this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every good deed that is done legislatively improper, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shares a reward in that, because he is the one who has legislated that by the permission of Allah. So everyone who performs a prayer or an act of worship that is proper and correct for the sake of Allah and according to the legislation, then the one who taught him that, he shares in the reward all the way back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the one who commits an action of innovation and he starts to worship Allah upon innovation, Allah, he does not accept that action. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ عَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدَّ. That whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our affairs, then it's rejected. It's rejected. So the one who worships Allah upon innovation, it's rejected. And so therefore he's cutting off the reward that goes back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's cutting off the reward. Those who worship Allah properly upon the sunnah, the reward is going to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has a share in that, without decreasing the reward of those who do that whatsoever. As for those who introduce innovations, then that and stopping the people from the sunnah and blocking for the people from the sunnah and calling them away from the sunnah, in reality he is cutting off that chain of reward for that person himself and all the way back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this reason, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that they're the enemies of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person, he should not be deceived. Innovation, even if it sounds good, or even if in their community or in their culture this is how they do it and the likes like this, if it's not according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is rejected, and it's a foul way. It's rejected and it's a foul way. A believer has to cultivate himself upon this understanding. He has to cultivate himself upon this understanding. After this, he says, rahimahullah, نَذَرُ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ يَجْلُو الْقَلْبَ. Look, a believer looking to another believer, it would cleanse and purify his heart. And he will look into his brother and he will be happy to see him. And the likes like this, وَنَذَرُ الرَّجُلِ إِلَى صَحِبِ بِدْعَ يُورِثُ الْعَمَى. And a man looking at the people of innovation, that will bring about for him blindness. Any blindness in his heart, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. مَنْ جَلَسَ مَعَ صَحِبِ بِدْعَ لَمْ يُعْطَى الْحِكْمَةِ. And whoever sits along with the people of innovation, he has not been given wisdom. He has not been given wisdom. Sitting with the people of innovation, this is not allowed, and this is impermissible, and this is not from wisdom. It's not from wisdom to sit with the people of innovation, those that have gatherings of knowledge, and they remember Allah in an innovative way, or they have parties, and they are celebrating celebrations that are innovative, and there's no legislation for that, there's no sunnah for that, or they're doing actions of worship and that's not in accordance with the sunnah, and they gather for that. A person, he will not sit with them and participate with them, and he will never support them, not financially and not physically, by making their numbers great, by joining them in their congregations, by joining them in their congregations. And so this is a clear evidence, yani, in refutation of some of the Sufiya who claim to have an allegiance where they love Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh. And because of his zuhud and his wara and his piety, some of them have claimed that he is from the Sufiya and the likes like this. But clearly he's refuting anybody who is contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from the worst of those misguided sects today, those who claim those turuq and those ways, ascribing them to men that have come generations and generations and have ascribed actions of worship to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal that have no authority and have no proof and no evidence. So a believer, he suffices himself with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever Fudayl, he got sick, it's mentioned here that he said, whenever he was sick, irhamni bihubbi iyyaka falaysa shay'un uhibbu ilayya minka. And he would try to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, oh Allah, oh Allah, show me mercy because I love you, and there's nothing more beloved to me than you. And he said, show me mercy. And he used to say whenever he was sick, masani ad-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, verily I have been harmed with difficulty, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. And he putting his trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has preceded, yani, that he mentioned about this affair, that one, he will fear Allah and have hope in the mercy of Allah. And particularly whenever death comes or sickness and ailment comes, he will increase his hope and reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, من استوحش من الوحدة واستأنس بالناس لم يسلم من الرياء لا حج ولا جهاد أشد من حبس اللسان وليس أحد أشد غما ممن سجن لسانه ممن سجن لسانه. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that whoever finds, becomes lonely, whoever becomes lonely and he finds that he's lonely and sad and the likes like this whenever he's by himself, and then he likes to, and he finds great comfort in being in the company of others, then he's not safe from showing off. Then he's not safe from showing off. Many of the Salaf, they used to mention that whenever they're with the people, this is whenever they're lonely. And whenever they're alone, this is whenever they find comfort. Because they would spend their days with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and their nights likewise, and in seeking knowledge and in learning, and the recitation of the Quran and pondering. So therefore, whenever they're with the people, this is whenever they're lonesome, and this is whenever they're bothered, and this is whenever they are not feeling comfortable. And whenever they're alone with Allah Azza wa Jal, or with the books of the Salaf, this is whenever they're pleased, and this is whenever they're happy, and this is whenever they find content, and whenever they find the any comfort and companionship. Like this has been narrated likewise from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala. They said to him, and some of his companions, إِذَا أَنْتَ صَلَيْتَ لِمَا لَمْ تَجْلِسْ مَعَنَا. He said, whenever you pray, and after you finish the prayer, how come you don't sit down with us? How come you don't sit down and hang out with us? قَالَ أَجْلِسُ مَعَ صَحَابَتِي وَتَابِئِينَ. Ibn Mubarak, he died in 181, and he's from the Atba' Tabi'in. He said, because I don't sit with you, because I go and I sit with the companions and with the tabi'in. أَنْظُرُ فِي كُتُبِهِمْ وَآثَارِهِمْ. He said, I go sit with the companions and the tabi'in. I look into their books and into their narrations. And he doesn't want to be with the people. Rather, he wants to be with a salaf al-salih. He wants to be with Allah Azza wa Jalla and remember the hereafter and learning and the likes like this. He said, فَمَا أَسْنَعُ مَعَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ تَكْتَبُونَ النَّاسِ. He said, what I'm going to do with you guys anyways, you sit around and backbite the people. You sit around and backbite any of the people. So a believer, again, what he's referring to here is this issue here. He finds happiness whenever he's alone thinking about the hereafter and pondering over this life. And the one who has to have companionship and be around the people, he says here, he's not safe from showing off. He's not safe from showing off. He said, there's no hajj, there's no jihad that is more severe than refraining one's tongue. There's no hajj or no jihad more severe than refraining one's own tongue. And the one who refrains, and there's no one who has more grief than the one who is refraining his tongue. And the one who is refraining his tongue, and he has things he wants to say, but he'll refrain them out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, likewise, he said, rahimahullah, احفظ لسانك وأقبل على شأنك وعرف زمانك وأخفي مكانك. He mentioned, rahimahullah, that you have to protect your tongue, and you protect your tongue from actions of disobedience, and that you should be devoted to your own affair. And devote yourself to your own affair, to rectifying your own soul, and that which is concerning you and not others. And he said, know your time. وَعَرِفْ زَمَانَكَ. This is very important advice likewise, to have knowledge of the time that you live in, and the fitin, and the trials, and the corruption that the people are involved in one's particular time and era, and in one's particular environment, to have knowledge and awareness. And especially for those who are raising children, to know that there are trials around us, and that there are fitna around us, and there are evils around us. And if a person is heedless about that, he can bring it upon himself and bring it upon his family while he did not even perceive. So to be aware of one's time and the corruption and the facade in one's environment and area specifically, this is very important. He said, وَأَخْفِ مَكَانَكَ. And also hide your place, and even where you are. Where you are. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, min akhlaq al-anbiya al-hilmu wal-anatu wa qiyamul layl. Al-hilmu wal-anatu wa qiyamul layl. From the manners of the prophets is that one, he'll be forbearing and he will not be hasty. He'll be forbearing and he'll not be hasty. And he will be gentle in his affairs and not be hasty. And he'll be forbearing and likewise standing in the night prayer. Standing in the night prayer. This is from the manners and the etiquettes of the Anbiya. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he said, إِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَى الْفُضَيْلِ جَدَّدَ لِي الْحُزْنِ وَمَقَدْتُ نَفْسِي ثُمَّ بَكَى. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever I would look and see Fudayl, any situation that he was in, then the huzn would come to me. And huzn, yani al-khushu'. Al-huzn, it means grief. But what they refer to here, it means khushu'. And then the humbleness would come into his heart. And he would detest his own soul. And then he would cry. And meaning that al-Fudayl, he was somebody who reminded him of Allah. Whenever he seen him, he would remember Allah Azza wa Jalla and his own deficiencies. And he would see Fudayl in a situation and his high status and rank and worship and piety and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla until he would detest his own soul and it would bring humbleness to him. And he's such a good companion, the one who reminds you of Allah and the one who reminds you of your obligations and duties to Allah. This is from the best of the people. From the best of the people. It's been mentioned here, نَظَرَ الْفُضَيْلِ إِلَى رَجُلٍ يَشْكُو إِلَى رَجُلٍ فَقَالَ يَا هَذَا تَشْكُو مَنْ يَرْحَمُكَ إِلَى مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُكَ. He said that Fudayl, he looked at a man who was complaining to another man. And then he said to him, he said, what's wrong with you? You're complaining about the one who shows you mercy to the one who does not show you mercy. You're complaining about the one who shows you mercy to the one who does not show you mercy. And he's complaining about his situation to somebody and saying, and he's talking about his bad situation and this and this and this and this. And this is the understanding of Fudayl. At-Tawheed, the affair is Allah, the command is in the hands of Allah. He said, Hadha, what's wrong with you? You're complaining about the one who shows you mercy to the one who doesn't show you mercy. To the one who doesn't show you mercy. And this is the case here, that a believer, he will complain to Allah. He will not complain to the people. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That he will complain to Allah, not to the people. Not to the people. They said, he said, رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ كَانُوا إِذَا تَعَلَّمُوا عَمِلُوا وَإِذَا عَمِلُوا شُغِلُوا وَإِذَا شُغِلُوا فُقِدُوا وَإِذَا فُقِدُوا طُرِبُوا وَإِذَا طُرِبُوا حَرَبُوا. رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, he mentioned, he says that the people before, and from those who he learned from, that if they learned, whenever they learned, they would apply it. Whenever they learned, they would apply the knowledge that they learned. And if they applied the knowledge that they learned, they became preoccupied, any with their own self. They became preoccupied, any with the good that they're upon. And if they became preoccupied, then they would not be seen, any to the people, they would not be seen. And if they were not be seen, then they would be sought. And whenever they were sought, they would flee and they would run. They would flee and they would run. And again, he would be somebody who would busy himself with himself. And he would be preoccupied with his own worship and his own deen and his own soul and the rectification of the self and his family. And this does not mean a person, he will not help others or benefit others, but he would not spend his life with the people. He would not spend his life with the people. He would spend his life with himself and taking care of himself and his family. It's mentioned here that he said, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ مُحِبًّا بِالْقُرْآنِ مُؤْنِسًا وَبِالْمَوْتِ وَعِظًا وَبِخَشِتِ اللَّهِ عِلْمًا وَبِالْإِغْتِرَارِ جَهْلًا. That is sufficient to have knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or to have love for Allah Azza wa Jalla, that the Qur'an will be a means of comfort, that he will find comfort and companionship with the Qur'an, and that death would suffice him as an admonition, and that fearing Allah would be sufficient for him in knowledge, and he would consider ignorance, the fact that one will be deceived by his own actions. That one will be deceived by his own actions. He mentioned khaslatani tuqassiyani al-qalb. There are two attributes or characteristics that harden the heart. Kathratu kalam wa kathratu al-akli. Any eating too much, any in excess, and likewise speaking too much, and in excess about the worldly affairs. He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, كيف ترى حال من كثرت ذنوبه وضعف علمه وفاني عمره ولم يتزول لمعاده. He said, what do you think about somebody who you look at him and his sins have become many, and his knowledge is very weak, and his life is going away, and he has not even prepared for the meeting of his Lord, for the meeting of his Lord. An indication that a believer, he has to take this life seriously. and he will not suffice with ignorance for himself. That from the greatest of the calamities that have befallen the ummah is the people have been preoccupied with this life, and they have left off learning the obligations until one of the Muslims will pray and he does not even know how to pray, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. He'll pray five times a day in a manner that is contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you ask him how the Prophet prayed, he will not be able to answer. And this is a calamity. It's an obligation to pray and to learn how to pray and to pray for the sake of Allah and to pray according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that which is obligatory upon a person in one day and one night, he will show concern for that because he has a Lord that he's going to meet. He has a Lord that he's going to meet. And this is from the reminders of Al-Fudayl rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's mentioned that he says the afatul qurra al-ujub, the calamity of the students of knowledge is amazement. And he mentioned here, and he closing his biography, he says wa kana ya'ishu min sirati ibn al-mubarak wa nahwihi min ahli al-khayr wa yamtani'u min jawa'iz al-muluk. That al-Fudayl, yani he used to live, his livelihood and his provision, it used to come from Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Abdullah al-Mubarak, he used to be a great scholar of hadith and from the most, the best of the salaf and the carriers of hadith, but he was also a businessman. And he used to make lots of money and he used to send it to the people of knowledge and he used to provide for them. And he used to send Fudayl specifically, money, that would suffice him. And so that he could continue doing what he's doing from seeking knowledge and calling the people. And this is from the beautiful way. After this, he mentioned he died in 187. He died in the year 187, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And then he mentioned the biography of his son, Ali, and that he was from the most righteous and the pious. And we continue reading that which he mentioned about Ali in the class tomorrow, inshallah, and after Maghrib. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.